Welcome back to Clear Voice. Before we begin, I wanted to let you know that by popular demand, I've added more Speak Up, Speak Out sessions in the evenings so that you can drop by after work rather than having to take a break from earning all that dollar. As ever, all the info is in the show notes below. It's a free taster session, so please come because I would love to help you. This week, I spoke to Hannah and Emily from Twice the Health. These two amazing women have devoted their lives to running and empowering people through exercise. They have run through the Grand Canyon, they have done ultra marathons in the desert, and they even inspired me to go for a run. And that is something. So let's hear what they have to say. This week, we have Twice the Health, who are Hannah and Emily. Ladies, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So tell me a little bit about yourselves and what you do and what your mission is.
So we're Twice the Health. We are a primarily kind of running focused blog or Instagram, whatever you want to call it. Influencers, horrible word, but that's the name they like to give us. So yeah, everything kind of centers around running, but we cover a lot of nutrition. We cover training. We cover race reviews. We take ourselves on some crazy adventures, but everything is pretty much centered around running. We've been running Twice the Health, for 5 years now.
Wow.
So it's been quite a long time, but there was definitely no intention of it sort of becoming what it has. We're very proud of what it's become, but that definitely wasn't kind of the goal when we first started out. We've also recently kickstarted a series of run clubs. I'll let you talk about those.
Yeah. So Han and I started our run clubs quite early on. The two of us led them on our own. We ended up doing like 10K when the run was 5K because you'd have to run back and forth between all the people. So the people who started turning up regularly were like, do you mind? Here's the map. Like, if you'd end up with a group, can you lead them round? They're like, yeah, it's fine. So slowly and surely, we bullied our friends into helping us run these run clubs. So we rebranded them as We Are Runners about 6-8 months ago. So that's our like new little brainchild that's starting to do quite well.
Amazing. I love it. Exercise and being social and having a community, it brings a lot more. I always think it's like running is just running, but it's nice to have something else to look forward to.
I think that completely, and all of our run clubs are free, and it's something we think is so enjoyable about running is you can put on your trainers and just go running, and it is a free movement, and it's something that we thought we'd need to keep as a core principle of our run clubs. They're kept running, literally, by people donating their time, very generous. Generously was the word I needed there.
Amazing. And of course, we're here to talk about voices. So what are your general relationships with your voices? Did you grow up with an accent? Did you have any awful experiences at school or amazing experiences? How have you found your voices through your lives?
Oh, I don't know. I was actually quite a loud child. My sister, Hannah's not my sister, even though we look very like. My sister was a really shy child, and I was always the one like putting on shows, and I was quite loud. And then I think when I sort of hit being like a teenager, I became quite like shy and a bit more like reserved about myself. Never really had much of an accent. I think it's just quite an English accent, mm-hmm. I would say. But yeah, a little round up on mine.
Yeah, I guess the same. I was actually born in Liverpool, but I haven't picked up that accent. Maybe I do a little bit when I'm back with the kind of family that we have back there. They're not actually family, but we call them family. But again, yeah, I have quite an English accent. I used to compete a lot on horses when I was younger. And whenever we met people, they'd always be like, oh, you've got such a posh accent. And I think it's maybe because a lot of the producers and stuff that I worked with were Welsh. So they thought I had a really English accent. But no, it's never something I've given much thought to before.
Mm. And Emily, you said that when you were younger, you were louder and then you were quieter. Do you feel like you're back to being loud now? And how did you make that journey?
Yeah, I think this is...
And I was like, yes.
I actually also talk really loudly. That's even if... like it's in a small group, my mum's always like, Em, we're only just here, quiet. Sorry, mum. I think I did lose my voice, I guess, around, not literally, metaphorically. I'd say, yeah, 12, 13, I did get a lot more shy. I was in a big boarding school as well, and sport was my place where I felt really comfortable, but I didn't feel comfortable in a classroom. I also have mild dyslexia. It's all kind of like on a scale, and reading out loud is something I found absolutely terrifying. And if an English teacher be like, oh, next few pages, oh, you're gonna read, Oh, that was like full of dread. I'd skip out words, definitely and defiantly would get muddled up. And it was just, I mean, even just like small little sniggers. Of course you laugh when someone gets it wrong, but when it's happening to you, that just absolutely destroys your confidence even more. Public speaking was something I didn't even want to think about. Instead of drama at school, I used to like the hair and makeup backstage. Like, I hated being on stage. The only drama I did at school was I did the gymnastics part because I didn't have to act or speak. And then along came Twice the Health and we ended up having to public speak. And I remember the first event we did, I made Hannah like type up our whole speech. I went and sat on my own for like 3 hours and tried to learn this speech. Of course, Hannah's a very natural public speaker, so she sets off not on the thing she had typed out. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to say. Like, this is not what we practiced. So yeah, just through having to public speak has, and also probably teaching like boot camps and classes, has massively helped my public speaking, even just confidence, like walking into a room and holding a conversation.
I think also going back to, I mean, I very I can recall that first event we did, and Emily, someone just hands her the microphone and she just went just recited everything that I'd written down, which didn't really fit into what I'd said before, but you know, it's fine, and we've got public speaking gigs since, so didn't completely destroy our whole careers. Sort of talking more about Em than myself, but definitely Em's public speaking has come on leaps and bounds, and not just in the fact that she doesn't recite everything I write down anymore, but she's so confident in talking about what we do and how we do it. And I think a lot of that comes from whichever way you want to look at finding your voice, is that we believe in everything we do and we back everything we do and we're so proud of everything we do within sort of, obviously outside of Twice Health as well, we hope. But, you know, within Twice Health, we're so proud of this brand we've built and all the things we've been able to do, that I think it makes our voice relatively easy because we're so confident in talking about what we do, because it's truly what we believe in. We're never having to put on a facade or talk about something that necessarily kind of we've educated ourselves on it. It's literally our thoughts that come out of our mouths. So I think that really helps in the confidence we have to public speak. I guess, yes, naturally, maybe I am I enjoy public speaking. My dad public speaks for a job, so I think I get a lot of that from him. And I've always been kind of encouraged to not necessarily say what I think, but to pursue that. And so I think that has really helped. But talking alongside Em, one, we've both kind of got to know how each other kind of talks and also our strengths and weaknesses. So when it comes to public speaking, we kind of know where we sit in the questions that we answer, because a lot of them tend to be quite similar. But also it's just made my life a lot easier because Em's is actually going to be interviewing me in January, which is definitely a first. I've interviewed Em a lot of times because she's the smart one. But in January, it's going to be Em interviewing me. So I think that'll be a real kind of game changer as such.
It's amazing to hear how you've both helped each other as well. That's always so heartwarming. But it's amazing, you know, when you have friends who are colleagues and you have that, because it can be such a toxic relationship if you flip it. But then the other way around, like how you guys have it, it's amazing and you grow so much and you help so many people through that, which is, it's so cool. It's really cool.
I think it's definitely, like, in terms of recognising each other's strengths and weaknesses, it's definitely taken time. Like, especially me, I'm very bad at it. I tend to just be like, and assume that I know everything. Yeah. strong, independent woman. But it's definitely taken time. And actually, the more we've both learned, particularly me, as I said, to sort of back down and let each other's voices be heard, has been so powerful for us. And it's allowed us to grow our brand and actually find strengths that we didn't know we had as a kind of duo, as opposed to individual, like, you know, power striving that I do.
Yeah, I know. I agree. So my husband and I, we're both very loud people. And I think, you know, Sarah's laughing because she knows it's like when you're in a room with us, no one can get a word in edgeways. And yeah, I think you're so right. Actually, sometimes the best stuff comes from just taking a step back and letting other people speak. Yeah. But it's so hard to do. But amazing. So sort of taking a flip from the positive, let's go to the negative first. So have you ever had any really awful experiences with your voice not being heard, or like an awful time of public speaking perhaps?
I think we were kind of discussing this on the way here, in terms of, you know, not being heard or not feeling like we had a place to speak. And I think luckily both of us, we had very good upbringings, etc. You know, we've never particularly struggled with being able to speak our word. But we did chat briefly about maybe when we, and it's obviously on a very small scale, I realized, to other people, but when we first started Twice the Health, I think we started Twice the Health at a time where the influencer market was just kind of beginning to become what it is now. And there was a very small group of us who were influencers in this kind of fitness space, but it was something that was really starting to be recognized as something that could become something quite powerful, which obviously has. And as a result of that, everyone was basically trying to make the most of the light that was being shone upon influencing. So it meant that everyone sort of went in the same direction. And again, I realize in the grand scheme of the world, I'm talking about a very niche little bubble here, but this is our example in that everyone strength trained, because that is what at the time was kind of cool. And that's what was popular and that's what was trending. So everyone went down this route of training in the same way and eating the same foods.
So that's like lifting and
lifting weights, yeah. And it became very cool to be strong, and not just mentally, which it is now, strong physically was kind of the real kind of focus. Yeah, then so we did that too. We always kind of joke about the fact we trained chest and we're runners, and name me one runner that uses their chest for, you know, more than 10% of their run. You just don't, unless you fall over. Yeah. Which is obviously what you don't want to do. Maybe if you've not trained chest and focused on other areas, you wouldn't have fallen over. But we did what everyone else was doing, and we don't regret that, because it kind of got us to where we are today, being able to kind of latch onto these trends. But in the same way, we have to wonder whether if we could go back now and we knew the things we know now, and we knew how we wanted this brand to look and how we wanted this brand to feel and what we wanted it to be about, would we have done things differently? And the answer is probably yes, because a lot of what we were doing then, we were doing to kind of gain access to this influencer circle that we'd found ourselves in. So not saying we were shut down or, you know, our voice, I'm sure if we'd have tried to speak about running, who knows, we may have been where we are now a few years ago, but at the time it certainly felt to us like that's the way we needed to act. And that's the direction we needed to take if we wanted to grow Twice the Health into what at the time we thought we wanted to grow it into.
I think also what you said, in a way, we kind of quietened our own voice because we thought we needed to be in that cookie cutter shape, and running really wasn't cool. And like, we'd both grown up on an athletic track. We thought running was great, and both kind of had fallen in and out of love with it as you do it, as you go. But yeah, no one was running, and everyone's like, cardio, it's like, makes you skinny. No one wants to be skinny. Everyone wants to be strong. But you can actually run, not be a twig. But there's also nothing wrong with being a twig. But yeah, I think we kind of dampened our own voice in a way, and without realizing, and it took us that kind of 360 to come back round and realize how much running had brought to our lives, and actually going back into that niche. So I mean, strength training is still something that massively complements our running, but it's strength training to improve our running instead of just lifting up random weights.
Yeah, I think self-censorship is a really interesting one. I find it fascinating because I think we all, maybe not suffer is the right word, but we all experience it. And it's not something you realize until you're out of it. It's very hard when you're in it, doing that self-censorship, to have the sort of external realization. But it's a really interesting one. And I think, yeah, maybe the answer is to be, I don't know, critical and really think about, like, is this absolutely what I want to do? Am I being true? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think from that is something I always massively respect, is that we've ended up in the influencer world as a pair. I am mind-boggled and amazed by the people who do it on their own. Like, I'm really impressed. But it must make it so difficult, because we have each other to bounce these ideas off. And I don't remember the day we sat down, or I think it was probably a gradual process, but kind of been like, do we want to post about this? Do we maybe want to, like, do something that's actually achieving something and we can go forward and progress with it? And I feel like that was that slow transition that maybe, once you're on your own, you're in such a little bubble and you're like set, you're like, this is what I must do. And you don't have those external voices to help change your opinion.
That's so interesting, because also I follow you guys on Instagram, obviously.
Thank you.
Big fan. And Yeah, actually, until you'd said it, it hadn't struck me. I don't know any other pairs on Instagram at all. Yeah. And it's actually really nice because when you go on your stories, I'm like, who am I going to get today? Yeah. And it's like you have those two voices, like as a follower, I suppose that's the word. Yeah. Like,
sometimes we double up by mistake.
Yeah, yeah. We do
that. But you have that kind of two for the price of one. I don't want to cheapen it, but it's nice. Like you have the variety. Definitely. And you don't know who's going to say what. And you both bring different things to the day.
Yeah. And we both are very different. I think sort of going back to what you were talking about, in terms of sort of two points, I was thinking of what you said, is the first one is that the day we actually sat down and sort of found our voice. Again, I don't remember that either, but actually if I try and think back to what I feel really kind of kickstarted us to become what we are today, it was experiences. And there's that, the one that sits with me kind of, shines the brightest for me, I guess, would be we ran through the Grand Canyon however many years ago it was now, 2016?
Yeah.
Something like that. And it was our first kind of taste of ultra running. It was our first taste of adventure by ourselves. And it was the first thing that we really talked about, you know. We told everyone, obviously. We were almost kind of amazed by ourselves that we were even thinking about doing this big adventure. And it was really easy to talk about. And not only was it cool that we were doing it, it made us feel pretty invincible, you know. We could go into, once we'd done it or as such, we could go into each day thinking, well, you know, it's not going to be as hard as that. We just ran 50K through the Grand Canyon. Like, how badass are we, type thing. And I think it gave us, it empowered us a little bit to begin talking more about what we wanted to talk about and gave us a bit of voice. And on the opposite end of the spectrum there is where I guess we've probably struggled the most in terms of doing what we do is our story. You'll probably know if you follow, you know, more than a handful of influencers, that a lot of them have had either bad experiences with mental health or with eating disorders. Thankfully, neither of us have ever suffered with either of those things. And whilst, in my opinion, that's great. You know, we've grown up very healthy. We were brought up outside, both of us. We were brought up healthy. We were always encouraged to have a healthy diet, and we often get asked, you know, when did you become healthy? And what they want there is a story about how we've lost a load of weight, we've gained a load of weight, we've overcome something pretty tough mentally. And I have huge respect for anyone who has overcome something like that, but we never have. And it's almost been a bit of an obstacle for us because, and this is not being woe is me because I've had a wonderful childhood, but just being real is that it has, because people almost aren't interested because we don't have a sob story. We just really like running, and we really like eating well, and we really like feeling well. And that has been inspired by the way we've been brought up and the activities we've indulged in being brought up and the adventures we've taken ourselves on. It's all a product of, you know, a long time of having a relatively healthy relationship with both food and exercise. So I guess we do lose a little bit of voice there, and we're very careful about the way we talk about mental health and eating disorders, because it's huge, obviously, in what we do. It's a real issue in not just kind of our level of athletes, but athletes, you know, that we look up to and inspire to be like, you know. But we are very careful about how we talk about it, and we're asked to talk about it a lot. Mental health especially is something that is really, really kind of talked about in our space, and something we get questioned on a lot. And it really is a case of treading on eggshells, because we obviously want to support with what we can, and running has been so heavily linked to that now, and we believe it's helped to maintain our mental health. We really do. But we'd never want to overstep the mark. And I think it's kind of sad that we can't use our experience of good mental health to hopefully help those who haven't. I think it is sad that we don't have a voice to help there, because you're so cautious of being shot down. Mm. And it's happened on numerous occasions. We've seen it in the press where people, you know, have maybe overstepped the mark. I don't know what that mark looks like. But I think definitely we feel a little bit like we don't have a voice in that space, and we have all respect for everyone that does. But I think it is kind of sad that there isn't more opportunity given to people to at least try and help. Yeah,
Definitely. Yeah. And I think an important point to make there is also that how you can feel if you're asked to speak on something you feel like you're not an authority on, even though people are like, no, you should speak about it. Yeah. Then you're like, no, I don't know what I'm talking about. And then you suddenly feel so small and silenced. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. Like, I think we push ourselves potentially, or we are pushed into sectors that people think that we should be authorities on. Yeah. And then you feel bad about yourself because you're not, and then you're like, I'm not doing this right. It's like, actually, you know, if we just speak about what we know about, we're all experts, and it's
great.
You
doubt yourself before you've even begun.
Exactly.
You
know? Yeah. So moving on to the positive, we always like to move in that direction. Can you talk about a time when you felt like you made a really positive change with your voices? Singularly, together, however you want to do it.
For sure. I mean, I think together is most definitely where we kind of take this. And we obviously both have expertise, some more than others. I think we're really starting to make our mark on the running community now. And that is something we're incredibly proud of. And much to our management's dismay, the thing that fills us with most joy is the run clubs. We've developed a really cool community now, which is called We Are Runners. It was originally called TTH Runs, or Twice the Health Runners. But we moved it away from that so that we could give other people a voice, essentially. So we could give our pacers, who now lead those run clubs, the chance to grow their own brand, build their own brand, and make a bit of a name for themselves in an industry that is so heavily saturated with people who perhaps we don't feel have the same passion that our pacers do. And we want them to be able to speak and share that. They are essentially just run clubs. But thanks to our platform and our influence, we have been able to grow them and work with some cool brands and give the run club some cool opportunities. And we hope that we're really sort of, with that, bringing people out of their shells. There's a few people that we obviously won't name, but we've talked about it between ourselves, and they really have come out of their shell now. You know, they've gone from the quiet one who didn't speak to anyone at run club and stood at the back to now leading their own run club and being the head pacer and organizing weekly events, which, whilst that isn't necessarily our voice that's grown, we feel like it's kind of a product of our voice. Yeah. And even just socially, we feel like a lot of these people kind of came to the run clubs to find friendships and a community that were like them. And now these people are a really close-knit group of friends who spend most weekends together doing what they love. And they're really happy in that space because they don't feel out of place. They don't feel like they haven't got a voice, or they can't talk about what they enjoy doing, or their passion, or they can't be themselves. They are in a completely safe space, and they can come and be themselves, which for us is everything we could have wanted We Are Runners to become.
Definitely. Emily?
Yeah, I was going to say, running on from that, I feel like as we found our voice, it has given it to so many other people in our little community. Also, like, with even like more of a voice to the running, because as I said, we've fallen in and out of love with running, as you do with injuries, and it comes up and down. But when we talked to so many people about running, the others said, like, oh, I should start running, but I hate it. I'm like, well, don't run then. There's so many ways you can move your body. Don't come running. If you really hate it, we're not offended. Don't turn up. But they associate it with like punishment and fat loss, and they actually might enjoy running as soon as they remove those things, or the clock, or whatever it is that they feel like they have to run because of that one reason. And so many people, as they turn up to run club, they have their headphones on, they're ready to start their watch, they're about to go on this run, they don't want to talk to anyone, and they come back and they've taken their headphones off and they forget to pause their watch, so they get home like that evening. And it just has released that stress and sort of like guidelines and rigidity that people have put in place that they don't need to have. Like, you're not an Olympic athlete. Like, you don't need to train like you're trying to break a world record. You should be having a smile on the face for most of your runs. Like, obviously we're all gonna have a bad run every now and again, but I feel like, yeah, we've tried to give that kind of like joy back to the running community, instead of it being seen as this like punishment sport that you're not supposed to go and do. And it's
yeah, definitely. And I think also to pick up on that, that joy of just doing exercise and seeing what your body can do, rather than doing exercise because you feel fat or you think you're fat, or yeah, a magazine or another influencer is like, do you know what I mean? I think as women, there's so much pressure on us and our bodies to conform to stereotypes and to do all these things so that we can have the ideal. But actually, it's just so much better if you, like, I read, so Daisy Buchanan, previous guest, her in her book How to Be a Grown-Up, she talks about how she had a massive revelation when she was in the gym that actually her body is amazing because it can do all these things. And I've had some back problems, and I always got really anxious when I was exercising because I could feel like, oh, am I twinging? Is it twingy? Oh God, no. Oh, I don't want to do this. But actually just going really slowly and thinking, my body is amazing and I could do so much more. And then I got so much more out of the workouts. And then you feel so much happier. And then it's really for you rather than for this thing that you should be.
Absolutely, and I think everyone has experienced that at some point with exercise. Even we've experienced that at some point with exercise. And yeah, and we're not saying that, you know, we go on every run with grins as wide as our face and, you know, singing, dancing and excited and running because we really, truly love it. We all have days where we exercise for the wrong reasons. And whether that be stress, whether that be because you don't feel great, whether that be because you think someone told you you should, or because you've got a program, you've got a session set during a program and you couldn't possibly miss it because the world might come to an end. It happens. It happens to all of us. But it's just actually finding, making sure that, you know, 90% of the time or 95% of the time, even better, you're exercising for the right reasons. You're exercising because you really love it. If you're training for something, not every session is going to be super sweet. Like, that's the reality of committing to a training program. But if you can make sure that at the heart of it, you know, you are truly doing it because it's something you want to do and you're doing it for you, you're not doing it for anyone else, then I think we're most of the way there.
Definitely. And how are you using your voices for change now?
Definitely still something we're working out, for sure. We've sort of touched on, changed as a brand quite a lot over the last few years. It's not like a business. We didn't set out with a goal. We didn't set out with a particular intention. We never made a business plan. We still have never made a business plan, much to our accountant's dismay. But we're working it out, that's for sure. And we're realizing with every sort of new venture we take on, be it business, be it challenge, that things go right and things go wrong. We find projects that really make us tick and we find projects that really don't make us tick. We work with brands that we really enjoy and we work with brands that sometimes we don't enjoy as much. But I think that's all kind of part of the learning process. We're definitely more aware of, and I guess going back to what we were saying earlier about where we feel like we do have power to speak, and we're really utilizing that. So that is obviously within the Run community. And whenever we talk at events, we always talk through experience, and that's where we feel like our power is. We don't, well, that's quite a lot of knowledge, but I don't have a huge amount of knowledge in anything specific. So we're always talking through experience. So we're learning as we go here a little bit. And I think that's okay for
Absolutely.
Now. You know, the brand is still very young, and we hope that it goes on way past us. And what exactly we want to do with the brand right now, going forward, again, we're still working it out. We're working on some cool projects at the moment, which we're really excited about. And I think it's difficult for us to put in a solid plan in place when, one, the brand really stems around what takes our interest, and that be that sort of physical challenges. And as we take on each physical challenge, we grow the business a little bit more and we reach a new audience. And with each new audience we reach, we learn how to communicate with them best. So maybe ask us in 2 years' time.
I think it's great. It's really refreshing to hear someone be like, we're still working it out, don't know. Because, you know, we're inundated with people who know exactly what they're doing all the time, and we're all supposed to have 10-year plans. But actually, no, sometimes you just don't know what's happening.
Until like the end of the week. Like, I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Amazing. And finally, who are the women that inspire you?
I was gutted when I saw this question and you said you couldn't say mum or sister. I was like, damn it. But yeah, stepping further away from the home. I was going to say, we always kind of say like our childhood heroes when we grew up were like Kelly Holmes and Paula Radcliffe, because even though we didn't actually meet each other, Hannah and I, till we were 18 at university, we raced against each other probably as kids because we both competed for 800 and 1500 in cross country for our county. So we definitely would have been on the same athletics tracks and the same cross country courses. Growing up, those two women were a massive part of our childhood. We watched them on TV and were just mesmerized by, I guess, how quick they are and how like amazing they were as athletes, and they were making such massive progress for female sport, and they were the two icons of it really that I remember growing up. Like, I feel bad that I didn't know more female athletes, but they weren't really given the airtime. And then I guess moving on now, I thought they're still massive inspiration because they're still doing huge amounts for sport even though they're not competing anymore. But also Gabby Logan, she's doing huge stuff for like the female movement in sport and getting it on TV. We went to the Change the Game event, that was this year, wasn't it? Wasn't last year? Yeah, this summer, where they were trying to televise pretty much all women's sport that was happening that summer. Every single one of the women's football games got shown, even if England weren't playing. It was just a massive step for female sport. I'd say that Gabby Logan would be a new one to add to my list.
Great. Hannah?
I think similar to Em, and even more so now, like, let's talk about the Charlotte Purdue's of the world as well, who are the slightly sort of newer on the scene, I guess, who would have inspired us in a similar way to we were inspired back then, who are incredible at kind of the sports that we do. And again, I realize that's quite small-minded because, you know, that's our goal at the moment is to you know, race in the same way they do, or run in the same way they do, or do it with the same kind of passion that they do. And I know that we're not allowed to talk about friends, but I guess, although whilst they are friends, they are still kind of role models to us, is the influencers, horrible word again, who are out there doing it by themselves. And you know, to name a few, sort of the Alice Livings of the world, the Hazel Wallaces of the world, who are out there really standing up for what they believe in. And on a smaller scale, again, whilst they are friends, they're friends through the industry. But, you know, the Beths and the Chloes, who are making change in this space that is now really competitive and really hard to make change in. And there's hundreds more that I could name, who are really standing up for what they believe in and fighting to get their content and get their voice out there in a world that, or a space that is very, very saturated with people trying to do what we do. And I have full respect for anyone who is, whether it's fitness, whether it's fashion, whether it's interior design, whether it's travel, whoever they are, who are putting their voice out there on a platform that is very easy to be knocked down on. And we always say we're very lucky. We don't get a huge amount of hate or trolling. Anyway, we don't get a huge amount of that, but we have friends who get it really, really bad and really horribly. And yet they are still putting out the content that they believe is powerful and is helping other people. Despite it being knocked down 100 times, they're still getting back up there and sharing it. And these people also inspire us every day, that some of them have been doing it a lot longer than us, some of them have been doing it a lot shorter than us, but they are incredibly inspiring for us to be kind of aligned with and to be sat next to. So yeah, I guess there's a more than I can name, but they know who they are.
That's amazing. Ladies, thank you so much. It has been such a joy to talk to you, and in your matching outfits as well, which is always such a bonus.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Clear Voice. Hannah and Emily's socials and run clubs are all listed in the show notes. They're such inspiring women. And now I'm off for another run. Bye.